All right, welcome in. Sunday night, and it is the Georgia Show. We're presented to you tonight and every week by American Pride Bank, a great partner of ours. Look, American Pride Bank is a bank for small business owners who want local, fast, flexible solutions. Whether you're looking for a loan or to expand or need everyday banking, we got you covered. You're always and you'll always talk to a decision maker. Athens, Alpharetta, online, AmericanPride.bank, your community bank, your trusted partner, member FDIC, equal opportunity lender. Guys, we appreciate American Pride Bank, all they do for us here at the Georgia Show and at Dogs HQ. Great partners of ours, and we do encourage you to check them out as always. Rusty, welcome to Sunday. And it's not just any Sunday. We're going to probably lose some viewers because we're going to dive right in on Selection Sunday.
No.
Dancing for the first time in 10 years. It just came down the pipe, so it felt relevant to kind of come out the gate.
Yeah.
With Georgia hoops. Georgia with the 9 seed, not probably what they had dreamed of given what waits ahead in the second round, were they to make it there. But look, Mike White gets it done for the first time in a decade for the Georgia Bulldogs. Gets in. They're taking Gonzaga in the first round, and then likely if they were to make it to the second, you draw number one Houston.
Yeah, you don't even – don't worry about it. You're in there, and that's the next step for Georgia. Had to get back in the tournament and listen to – you know, you kind of made your bet a few times. You win a game or two here, and – you know, I wonder, you know, if and buts, if they were have to have won that Oklahoma game, would they have been a 7 seed? But ultimately, you know what I mean? You're in there, anything can happen. You get a week of excitement. You get great exposure for your team. And you answer a question like, you know, can you get to the dance? You know, can you do it at Georgia? Can you get to March Madness? And they got there. And you know, that was the goal, in my opinion, for the Georgia fan base. Let's get to the tournament and see what happens. Now Mike White can go to these recruits and go, look, obviously 14 freaking teams. 14 teams has made it. Texas made it in. So when you say that, you know, in the toughest conference, we'll see how the SEC does in the tournament. I expect them to be really good. But if you, you know, look at Georgia in particular, just making it there, let's see what happens. Got a tough draw with Gonzaga, excuse me, whatever part of the state of Georgia you're in, it's Gonzaga or Gonzaga, whichever one. They're the Bulldogs, so that you'll get that right. But we'll see this week. And they got a tough draw, no doubt about it. But you get in there, you never know what happened. This is why people that don't watch basketball all year watch this, because crazy damn thing happens. And I just happened to come across I've watched it before, but I watched the NC State 30 for 30 the other day. Man, I mean, you know, you just never know what kind of crazy run you – I believe they were 8 seed too. You never know what kind of freaking run you can get on. And Georgia be back Thursday. I imagine that game. I don't know the time yet. If you know, I don't know the time yet.
I'm not totally sure on that.
An 8-9 game is usually prime time, so then maybe they'll play Thursday night. And we'll get – that's right. Glenn Hartley got that right. Uncle Glenn there.
There you go.
That's the Dogs. That's how you spell Mississippi State, and that's how you spell Gonzaga, whatever it is.
No, look, I mean, I'm in agreement with you here, Rusty. Look, you got to take this step forward. You always had to do that. That was always going to have to be the case. It's proof of concept at the end of the day, right? It's, hey, we can do this. We're a couple pieces shy maybe of getting exactly where we want to be, but we have the opportunity to take this thing further than we have in the past. Mike White creating that in the minds of guys is as important, I think, as anything that he could possibly do in his tenure with the Georgia Bulldogs at the hoops.
Credit them too, man. Cause I mean, I was there. I was at the Florida game, and when they lost that lead late, you're like, boy, that's it. This is a wrap. They're not going. And I'm telling you, I've said it before. I saw some life leave Mike White in that timeout when they were down, and they credit them on that game and turned it around and got here.
Yeah, absolutely. And I mean, look, it's going to be one of those things where regardless of what they do, again, they've got proof now. Hey, look, we're not just the typical bottom dweller. We're making noise. And look, I mean, the fact of the matter is, in a different league, in a different world, this is an outstanding record. It's because they played in the conference that they did that this looks the way that it does, but it's also because they played the conference that they did that they're in the position they're in. So kudos to Mike White and the boys. Really nice to see me. Really nice to see that in there and an opportunity for them to go on and get into the tournament. Here's hoping that they can springboard this into plenty more down the line.
I hope they go all the way to the Final Four for Jake Rowe. I want Jake Rowe covering basketball for the rest of the year.
Absolutely. Everyone wants that. There's no question that everyone wants that. I couldn't agree more. I think that we're wishing that on him, ultimately.
We are.
All right. Like I said, we'll have more to come on that one. I'm sure Jake Rowe's been following those guys all year, Jeremy Johnson too. So, but Rusty, let's dive into on what we know best, and that's Georgia football. We do that here, and we do it often. Week one of spring practice in the books, man. It came and went, I guess, somewhat quietly. They didn't give you a lot of access this week. It was pretty quiet in that regard. They're kind of keeping the reins tight when it comes to Butts Mir, and I can't say I blame them. I understand that. But I'm just curious, Rusty, your thoughts, anything you heard over the course of this week when it comes to week one of spring practice for the Dogs, any names that caught your ear or any impressions that maybe you heard of? What's this team kind of looking like going into this year?
I'm actually working on a piece right now for tomorrow morning. We'll have up on Dogs HQ and all you guys that are subscribers there. We'll go a little more detail and on a couple players. One player I'll say here, and I said yesterday on the dog walk on our message board that Bo Walker, a running back, he had a good, I would say, he had a good couple practices, bowl practice, and you just don't react to that, but you're like, okay, he's got a little something to him. And Bo Walker kind of got hidden because when he left Cedar Grove, he transferred to Stockbridge. Georgia High School deemed him ineligible because one of the assistant coaches from Cedar Grove was – we're not getting into all that. But this is the path of how he kind of – his senior year, he kind of got forgotten about a little bit. He goes through multiple appeals, and he's ineligible in the state of Georgia. Well, I believe late August, early September, the season had already been going well into it.
Yeah, he ends up 3 weeks in, right?
Yeah, he ends up at Raven Gap, which is a really good school up in the northeast corner of Georgia. But how they have dorms and kids from all over the world, they have to play in North Carolina. Really good football, man. Really good football. But he goes up there, has a pretty good year. They don't win the state championship in North Carolina. He just shows up at Georgia. And I think people kind of forgot about him a little bit because he was committed so long. Never really had a bunch of drama around his recruitment. He committed to Georgia and just stuck with Georgia. But I'm telling you, he's had a really good offseason. He's had a really good winter. And, I like to talk to people that are at Georgia practice that are really seeing somebody for the first time. And I talked with someone Thursday that was the first time they had seen Bo Walker, and they're like, man, that freshman running back's really good they got. Anybody can have a good practice. Well, as I mentioned on the board, on Saturday, I have some people at practice, and I start getting a couple of text messages. They're like, dude, this freshman running back, I mean, he just ran over a dude, and a couple of long runs. Here's what I like about him. He's low to the ground. My favorite running back term is contact balance. He doesn't go down easily. And, I think just early on, the initial impression of him is great vision, gets to the hole quick. He's sudden. He was out of shape, because he went through all this transfer stuff and really just tried to fight through it and keep himself ready. But I'm telling you now, Bo Walker's a name. And if Georgia gets some good stuff out of him, you're talking about a blessing because the running back room is banged up. Trying to get some guys, you kind of felt like Trevor Etienne was going to stay. And at the very end, we've already talked about why that decision he left, and good for him, and go make all your money, do everything. But the Georgia staff thought he was staying until the very end. So they really weren't heavily into that portal window. And all of a sudden, you'd only sign one high school back, and you got Bo Walker here. And this kid winds up right now. He's kind of been a really, really pleasant, I would think, surprise for everyone. And that's really good news at a position like that. And, sometimes you forget about these kids because they don't have all the visits. And when they just commit and they just tuck away and they show up on campus, you kind of write those guys off. And Bo Walker's making some noise.
It's that catch 22, isn't it, man? I mean, it's like everybody wants that guy to go in, lock it up, quit doing it. But then as a result, and I said this about Darren Ikenigbon, Darren Ikitigbon was a top 100 recruit in the country. You would have never known he was on the commit list the way people talked about some of the other
never guys. Never mentioned it.
Because never he never it. Took any other visits. It was just, he committed. That was it. It was done. You never really had the drama around him. And so it does. It becomes this like catch 22 of keeping your name out there versus, you know, kind of getting in and getting your business handled. Bo Walker, absolutely one of the forgotten guys in this class. There's no question about it. And
me too.
Quite frankly, one of the more underrated guys in this class, probably by everyone. Now, look, he could go at Cedar Grove. You could go turn the tape on. You could see he was a guy. He was a little bit of a pinball, right? I mean, he was out there bouncing off of guys and getting it done. And Cedar Grove plays fantastic football. They always have. They always will.
Loaded.
Yeah, it's a tremendous squad. They year after year after year. I've been doing this 11 years. You've been longer than that. They've been great every year. They're a talented team, and they always restock. When he left and went to Raven Gap, that was one of those things where you were like, really? That's okay. But what people forget about because of that school and being what it is, where it is, like you said, there's that all over the world aspect. They got some athletes over there, Raven Gap.
And then he started.
When you're talking about going and getting those 6'5 German kids, that's where they go. They go to
Raven Gap High School. Yes.
He played in a league that, if I'm not mistaken, David Sanders played in.
Yes.
They played Providence Day, if I'm not mistaken. So this was this is not, you know, your typical run of the mill. We're not playing, you know, the sisters of the poor here. I mean, these guys really played some good competition, and he was playing good competition in practice. But because of where he was geographically, where that stuck, you're not going to see just a ton of those games. He just wasn't on the radar like he would have been if he'd have stayed in the metro area. And I think that you would have probably seen his stock increase in some places. And kudos to Rivals. They had a good evaluation on him, and it looked like pretty well done on that. But I think if he'd stayed in the metro area, more people would have had a chance to see him and have had a chance to kind of know what Bo Walker was all about. But I agree with you. Huge, huge news. I also caught a name the other day, and I'm curious if it's one that you had heard as well. Somebody hit me up and said, hey, what is the deal with this freshman safety, Ty Robinson? This is a guy that just looks like a natural. And Rusty, for me, he was one of those guys going back to high school, watching his tape, seeing what he was doing. You wondered, what's going to happen when this guy gets a chance to focus on one singular position, when he's able to devote all his brain power, all his athletic ability, all of his efforts into focus on one thing? Would it be kind of that Richard LeCount-esque, you know, another guy who played some quarterback in high school, or Mecole Hardman, right? I mean, you know, those things change. A lot of these guys play that position out of necessity. And it's really a great thing when you find a kid who, hey, we're going to play this guy somewhere else, but he plays quarterback for his high school team. That's always a good sign in my mind, because it tells you what kind of athlete he is, what kind of leader, and what he means to that team. Todd Robinson, one of those guys, and it sounds like it's translating over to the practice fields in Athens early on.
Yeah. Well, first of all, he's from Valdosta, so you know he's tough as hell. Sure. I mean, he's never lacked for physical practices in South Georgia. Just dogs, you know what I mean? You can say what you want, whether you're not a Valdosta fan or not, you respect that program. And what I like about him is I had someone tell me one time who I think is a great defensive back evaluator. Someone's a college coach now. And he said, Rusty, I love guys that touch the football that wind up playing on defense. You look at Mecole Hardman, who was going to play DB. You look at Malachi Starks, who played quarterback for Jefferson.
Right.
Well, okay. Take this one. Take Eric Stokes, who played running back at Eastside, transitions over to DB. Guess what Eric Stokes winds up being? A first-round draft pick.
Right.
So here was the term that someone used with me with Todd Robinson was, he's a little more natural than we thought. I think Georgia understands there's a transition, because you can play a little bit of defense, but in high school, he was primarily the quarterback. He was the best athlete for Valdosta, and they had to have the ball in his hands every play. And I get that. He's going to transition over to defense. Going to take a little bit. But I've heard his first couple of practices in his first week or so and the offseason. These kids have been going through reps with player-led stuff too. So it's not like he just showed up on Tuesday. They're like, let's see what you got. I mean, they kind of had an idea. But when you put the helmets and pads on, are things going to speed up for him, or are they going to slow down? And Sounds like Todd Robinson's guy. And I asked, I said, is he playing star or nickel? They said, no, he's playing safety. So that's interesting as well, because Georgia brought in three transfers at safety. Right. And then you have this young man, Todd Robinson, too. So where does he factor in all that? And can he make a move there? But, you know, I thought the term that I was told on Saturday out of that building was, this kid's more natural than we thought. And that's a damn good thing.
Absolutely. No question about it. Dylan Brooks over here says, Todd has the same career track as Malachi, in my opinion. Way too early to be saying all that. I'm not going to put that on anybody. But I will say this, Rusty, and you made that interesting point to say, can this kid make a move despite all those guys they brought in with the experience? Look, they've shown that they're willing to play a guy who can play back in that position. Malachi Starks did it his freshman year. He played he was out there the whole time. So
KJ Bolden.
Yeah, absolutely. They're not afraid to throw a guy back there on the back end who has the athleticism, has the wherewithal, and knows it. And I agree with, you mentioned that guys who touch the ball and transition it over. I love that too. I think that it just creates a different way to view the game. You're seeing that side of the ball in a completely different way because you know tendencies. You know the way that these things can play them out. You can kind of draw it out in your head. And I've seen guys kind of do that. And that, I think, gives them that natural
ball skills.
Absolutely. No question. While it's in the air. Anything else out of spring practice this week, man? We'll talk about some of the visitors here in just a little bit. We want to get to the recruiting aspect of it for sure. But, I think that
we broke the news, Tyler Williams, ankle injury, and he's going to be out for the rest of spring. And that's, you never wish that on anybody, but the best part of that is he'll have a surgery, it sounds like, I guess, and then he'll be ready to rock. He'll be ready to rock for summer camp and all that kind of thing. So freshman wide receiver, out of Florida, and another one of those kids that committed and just stayed committed. You know what I mean? And you kind of forget about those kinds. So, that was kind of the news. You won't know news is good news at all, that kind of stuff, but did have some banged up thing there. It's interesting because Jake Rowe goes to practice on Thursday and he texts me. He goes, dang, Tyler Williams is put together. And I said, yeah, man, he's knotted up now. And then you come back on Saturday afternoon and he broke it himself on his Instagram. And we run the story with that. So when we credit a young man, they do that and make sure that he, we got that from him. So, but you look at that, and that's how quickly things can turn. But he'll be back. It's not nothing that should drag into. It's something he should be good to go. Probably something, I would imagine June, whatever, the May, when they start doing the 7-on-7s, player-led stuff. People are going to ask all the time, what about Gunner? What about Pugliese and all that? This is really install stuff. They're doing, they got into a little bit of situational. Now, this week, they will transfer, they will transition kind of into some more stuff. One of the things I like this week, Jake, at Georgia, and Kirby Smart does a great job with this, and I'll tell you this, Mark Rick, great guy, great coach, super nice to me and you. I mean, just super, just one of the – I've told this story before. The day Mark Rick got fired, I sent him a text that night at like 8 o'clock. I said, Coach, man, thank you for all you, let me cover your program and all that. I never expected to hear one word from Mark Rick. I'm talking about within 1 second, bam. Sends me a text about Rusty. Thank you for the message. Thank you for covering my teams and all the exposure. I'm like, this dude.
Whatever people think Mark Rick is or was.
Yes. 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 You're right. Yeah. So, but I'll say this. His coaching clinics averaged about 100, 150 guys. He just didn't have the pieces of the puzzle to put that together. And it just never did kind of get to this level. Well, Kirby Smart comes over. And one of the things he does is he has this high school coaching clinic in Georgia, and that's next Thursday, Friday, and Saturday. It's like 1,100 coaches, man. I mean, it is insane.
Yeah.
We got 1,100 eyes over there. We'll have a lot of people kind of knowing what's going on with practice, and I got a lot of friends that'll be there. And it's always interesting that Thursday of coaching clinic week, the guys have never been, they've never heard Kirby on the mic. That's the reaction you want to hear. Like, that dude is not playing around on the mic. And so that'd be good. That'd be good to have all those coaches. And it's important, to have. I've got texts today from a bunch of coaches going, hey, man, we're going to be in Athens this weekend. Look forward to it. And that's one of the little things that we don't talk about. That's a big deal for Kirby Smart. And that is to bring – and it's not just – I think I asked somebody a couple of years ago. It's like coaches from like seven states. Like, wow. Seven states. Yeah.
I mean, 1,100 people. Look, What I would say is you might get a little bit more milquetoast practice report next week. I don't think they're going to be out there running the jumbo set with Elias Williams.
No, in front of
1,100 coaches. But no. At any rate, no, it should be exciting. And like you said, I got a few people I know that are going to that as well, and really looking forward to it. Guys who've been before, man, they rave about it. They say that you can't understand how these guys are wired until you just go be around it. It's so
cool. Yeah.
All right, guys, we got to get into talking about another one of our partners here, and that's Sun Heist.
Yes, sir.
If you are looking for a great pair of shades, look, you want to get somewhere local. You want to talk to our friends over at Sun Heist. They're local to Athens. These frames are lightweight for comfort, but they're incredibly durable. Okay. In fact, they're so durable, they back them up with a lifetime warranty. So you can reach out to Sun Heist, they'll replace them for you. Injected polarization, lenses will not delaminate over time. That's part of that warranty. And guys, you just get a chance to look great for a great price. That's the great thing about Sun Heist. All the cool styles. This Alder is super sweet. $60, man. Get you in the door. 27 five-star reviews on those. Hey, maybe you're trying to get that Pit Viper look with the ashes.
That's me, man. That's me, dude.
I can see Rusty just hitting dingers and at the softball field.
Give me a shark tooth necklace right here. Get ready to roll, baby. That's me.
You got me. Just the notch cut.
Yes. Give me a Panama Jack t-shirt. I'm ready to roll, baby.
Absolutely. Yeah. You got the Big Johnson on me. Guys, get over there and check out Sun Heist. Great friends of ours. Free U.S. standard shipping, free returns, lifetime warranty. Can't go wrong, man. You're helping support a local to Athens company. Keep it in state. Keep your money with a small business like these guys. Sunheist.com. Go check them out. And we appreciate them for all they do for us here at the Georgia Show. And while we're at it, another group we appreciate, MyPerfectFranchise.net, Andy Ludicky and the boys over there. You know this when we talk about them all the time, but that's because we believe in what they do and we appreciate their support so much. If you are somebody looking to take your life or career into your own hands, these are the guys to reach out to. Andy and the guys over at MyPerfectFranchise.net can help you diversify, okay? They want to take you to the next level. He's a franchise veteran with multiple franchises under his belt, multiple businesses under his belt. He takes all of that expertise, all that knowledge, all that time, and he uses it to put you in your American dream with your own franchise match, okay? So that's what My Perfect Franchise does. They're going to bring you in with where you want to go. Andy will put your life and career in your own hands, and his services come free to you, and that's why we encourage you to use them. Check those guys out, MyPerfectFranchise.net today. Like I said, great, great partners of the Georgia Show. Rusty, it's not been all just spring practice. We speak of the devil, man. You know, I get done talking about these things here just recently, and I said, oh, this recruiting calendar's moved, and nobody's committing these days, and everybody's waiting on visits, and everybody's having NIL discussions. And then what happens this weekend? Georgia lands a new commit for the class of 2026, currently unranked in the On3 industry ranking. I think we'll probably see that change pretty shortly. Brady Marchese out of Cartersville mm-hmm. High School, 6'1", I believe about 180.
180. It was 180, yep, Saturday.
Right, 180. Mm-hmm. You know, you go back, you look at the stat line on this guy last year, and mind you, Cartersville's not playing bums. I mean, these are that's some good football over there. They're pretty deep there. Marchese last year, I want to make sure I get my stats right. 44 receptions, 1,051 yards, 11 touchdowns, 23.9 yards per catch for Marchese for the Hurricanes. Rusty, you put a note up on Saturday prior to this and said Georgia's probably higher on this guy than people might be given credit for. Right. What is it about Brady Marchese? Have you had a chance? Well, I know you've had mm-hmm. a chance to see him.
Multiple times.
Some time ago, in fact.
Yeah.
You saw him real early on. But mm-hmm. what stands out to you about this kid? Because obviously, look, they got in on him, man. They put the pedal down, and they were willing to take this commitment early.
I think you see a commitment video, the graphic of him. I mean, he's pretty knotted up now. That's 180 pounds solid.
Yeah.
He can really roll. I had him on TV this year against Cedartown in a tough game. And Tay Harris, who's one of the fastest players in the country, winds up going to Georgia Tech. Really good freaking football player there at Cedartown. Brady catches a ball in that game, I think, in the third quarter. and he put his foot in the ground, and man, he was gone. I think he went about 65 or 70 yards, and I was like, I didn't know that kid kind of ran like that. And then I saw him again in another game later in the year, and he caught another ball deep end. And, you know, he kind of reminds me a lot of Landon Roldan, kid that just took out of North Oconee last year. You know, these are, you know, four or five kids, and they're put together. And you just can't get enough of these kids that can run. And that's something that Georgia covets. I think, to be honest with you, too, I think his track times really helped him. You know, I had him in a – and if you guys go follow me on Twitter, it's a great video. His dad sent it to me Friday night, and I'll give you the story behind that. But this, he was a seventh grader, and here he is. You know, when your seventh grade jersey hanging off of him, helmet so big, he barely hold his helmet up. He got MVP of the middle school Georgia Elite Classic middle school game, and I'll be honest with you, I'd lie if I remember kind of his stat line that day. But those things are blurred from covering all those games. But seeing the video of him, that was awesome. And I know it meant something. Talked with his parents, some text messages in Friday night. And I knew he was going to – him committing on Saturday was a real possibility. And then they kind of talked about, hey, we might give a silent commit on Saturday, you know, and then let's – get a story together. And, you know, I said, that's fine. Whatever y'all want to do, we'll take care of you. And just congratulations on that. And let us know, you know, what happens. And I'm sitting there, and I put on our thread, hey, we need to, this kid's on commit watch. Just get us a piece again. I think you got a piece ready just in case. And his dad called Saturday morning on their way. I missed the call. I texted him back, and he said, hey, we're walking in the football building. I'll call you as soon as the visit's over. I said, okay, no problem. Well, you know, a couple hours later, bam, it breaks. He commits and all that. And it's funny because his dad calls me afterwards and he goes, man, the last hour's been a blur. He goes, you know, we planned on calling you and getting the story together and getting a plan together. He goes, my son's sitting right there in front of Kirby Smart. And he goes, he'd seen enough. He was ready to commit. He was done. He goes, next thing I know, my phone's blowing up. I know. And I said, look, that's how things go. You don't plan things. You let unfold. And that tells you you're in the right place. Your son made the right decision. And it's funny because how that unfolded, I was like, guys, I don't think he's going to commit today, but let's have a piece just in case. Yeah, next thing you know, your son's like, I'm committing. You know, puts a tweet, text here and there, and that was out. So good for him. And just kick and roll now, I'm telling you. And George is not done in that wide receiver room. But Kirby Smart came to Cartersville. James Coley. Really liked him. And that's why I said on the board Saturday morning, I'm telling y'all, you know, don't worry about where he is right now. I'm telling you, Georgia's evaluation is the one that matters. And this kid, they are really high on this kid. And, you know, sometimes I don't get paid for my writing skills. I know that's going to shock some people.
It's really interesting, Rusty. You mentioned this wide receiver class. There's a lot of names out there, man. I mean, there's a ton of guys that we're still talking about. So they got Vance Spafford committed. And you know, that one looks like it's going to be a battle to the end. No question. We kind of assume that being a West Coast kid, right? But you go down the list, man. Marquez Daniels, a kid who's probably going to visit here soon. Davion Brown's going to visit. Gordon Sellers is going to visit. What else? We got Corey Barber had a chance to come up and visit here recently. Bubba Frazier is a guy who's been on. Craig Dandridge.
Craig Dandridge one as well. Yep.
Yeah. I mean, the list goes on and on, man. I mean, there's probably about a dozen kids that you could really say, yeah, these guys look like they're getting serious looks at this point. So for them to take Marchese at this point, you know, Dickerson, the Dallas Dickerson kid, I expect that'll probably come down at some point.
That's going to be a decision.
I mean, you know, you get out there, flash some track times like that. But I think it's very telling that they would take a commitment from Marchese at this point and gives you an indication of what they think about him. But like you said, really well put together, man. Go look at the pictures. This kid, hey, don't look like no kid entering senior year of high school to me anyway. Rusty, many visits over the course of this week. Jared Curtis, the front and center of everybody's mind, certainly the number one quarterback for us at On Three. Steve Wiltfong had a piece with him, had a chance to speak with him and get his impressions of this. I think you said this well on the board, and I want to reiterate this. This feels like a situation. I'd said something similar. I don't think that I think you need to take a week off of Jared Curtis news if you're following this thing real closely. Okay.
Yeah.
I would say take a step back, move from that place a week later, okay? Because there's visit highs to come. There's discussions to come with agents. There's discussions to come with parents. There's a lot of moving pieces at play right now. But I'm curious, Rusty, coming off of this trip, any thoughts when it comes to the Jared Curtis situation?
Well, I kind of jake you with you. Some people don't want to hear this, but this is reality, okay? And this is where we all are learning. This is how we transition into our roles and how we cover things. And this is where you better be sourced up in a lot of different areas. You know, 5 years ago, after he sat in a meeting with Kirby Smart and Mike Bobo and his parents and all that, I would have had a good inkling of which way this thing was going to go. He just spent 4.5 days in Athens, and I'm telling you right now, it's not a – there's more people involved, and that's – people don't like to hear it, and it sounds cringy. It's the way it is, and it's the way it's going to be. He has an agent. He has he has a whole team around him. So there's a lot of pieces that go into a decision like this, and this is not an indictment of Jared Curtis. This is the way it's going to be. Tyler Atkinson, the number one player in the state of Georgia, he has an entire marketing team around him. He is one of 7 players, high school kids in the world, that has an Adidas deal. You know what I mean? So these
Drew Rosenhaus is his.
Yeah, he has Drew Rosen, the same guy that followed represented A-Rod. Okay. Right. Represents him in high school. So
Right. Just
get used to it, and that's just the way it is. I'm not changing it. You're not going to change it. But what I'm trying to tell you is there's a lot of different pieces of the puzzle you got to put together. Because if this was down 5 years ago between Georgia and Oregon, I guarantee you by right now tonight, I would know which way this thing is going.
Sure.
There's going to be a discussion at some point this week with his family. There's going to be a discussion this week between his team. I don't think this is going to be all about the highest bidder. I don't. Neither one of these schools would get this young man, from what I would say, cheap. But this is not one of those deals where at the last minute you're going to get into a bidding war. It's not going to come down to something like that. It's going to be what they like as a family, what they trust as a family, what they see. And then the financial part of it will come in as an agent and his team will give their opinion on things like that. So there's a lot of different scenarios into this thing. And this is a freaking big boy recruitment now. I mean, when you start talking about the number one quarterback in America, that's the way it's going to go. And it's going to go that way, Jake, for the number 10 quarterback. It's just not going to be as much publicity. These guys all have agents. All these players have agents. And these are NFL agents. Drew Rosenhaus, one of the top 2 or 3 agents in the world. He represents Malachi Starks and Michael Williams, okay? That was the 2 players he represented at Georgia this year. So he's not messing around when you start talking about Jackson Cantwell as well. So, you know, don't see as no news as he's not going to Georgia or he's going to Oregon or he's not going to Oregon, he's going to Georgia. This is going to be a pretty detailed process, I think, over the next maybe week to 10 days, 2 weeks. I mean, this is what you want to know, Roos. You want to know maybe next Sunday, next Monday.
Right.
At that 100% point, you'll start knowing a little bit of feeling on this thing. But, you know, this is a family that kind of understands what's going on and knowing the magnitude of this decision for their son. And we'll see, man. This is a big boy. I say it all the time, getting no points for sacking in something like this, but I don't think it's going to get into the officials. I think it's going to be long over with, but let's see what we hear about a week from now.
I am curious, Rusty, your thoughts here. Something from Jonathan Taylor. He said, how do you compare Jared Curtis to other top QBs in other classes? Is he on par with an Arch Manning, Dylan Raiola, Bryce Underwood, et cetera, or does he stand out from them? Is he a different kind of guy?
I mean, all those dudes are like, arm talent wise. Yeah, there's no question. Like I personally went to Nashville to watch him work out, and I wanted to see it. And, you know, cause you start talking about, I knew Georgia was heavily involved in him. And I knew that once they kind of said, I'll just be honest with you, this is a kid they went after over Juju Lewis. They were in the same class and they were like, okay, we're in on the Nashville guy. And then you started hearing the Julian Lewis noise kind of was, you know, for that recruitment, he was going somewhere else. So I was like, I got to see this kid. So I go see him. And I'll tell you, he's got, try not to overreact, but I don't know that I've seen an arm talent like that. I mean, he's got some high velocity coming out of it. He's a bigger kid than I thought. I think he's 6'3 and a half, 226 this weekend. It's a grown ass man now. And he's not a statue. You know what I mean? Where like you look at Jacob Eason, who had one of the best arms I've ever seen, but Jacob Eason was not really a fluid athlete. I mean, he was a 6'5 kid, 6'6 kid that stood in there. And that kind of hurt Jacob a little bit, you know, not being able to get into this level of the game where he could get outside of the pocket and move. Jared Curtis can move. You know what I mean? Like, he's not going to sit there and beat you, but he's not a statue. And you're going to – he can extend plays, and that's really all that matters. So, I don't want to say he's better than Arch. I don't want to say he's better than Bryce Underwood. But to be ranked as the number one quarterback in America and for 2026, I can see why he is, if that answers it better.
Sure, absolutely. Tough Stuff said, are they still talking to Calvin Russell? Actually, Jake Rowe had a note on that this week. Had a chance to spot him out. The words he used, I won't give you the full update, but the ones he said was, would get an offer in a Publix parking lot. So that should be all you need to know about Calvin Russell.
Lord have mercy.
He thought he was an edge player out there.
Wide receiver. He thought it was Brenton Cox for a minute, didn't he? Like, who's the 6'5 guy there? Wait a minute, what?
But guys, look, hey, spring practice keeps rolling. Recruiting is going to continue for the next couple of weeks for sure. Guys are going to continue to get on campus. There's some official visits continuing to pop up for the spring game. We got you covered on all of it. Get over to Dogs HQ. We'll have some insight on this basketball as well. It's all over there. We appreciate you tuning in this evening. Russ, you got anything else for the people to send them on their way?
Nah, man, go Dogs, and let's win about four or five basketball games, because Jake Rowe really wants to cover some basketball, and I just think it'd be a blessing to everybody to have that. I'll send him wherever they go. If Georgia plays in Anchorage at midnight, I will fund out of Dogs HQ to put Jake Rowe on Air Alaska on Air Alaska to go out there.
I remember so vividly being in Indianapolis when Keely Ringo picked the ball off and he ran it back into the end zone. And Jake Rowe looked at me and he said, the only thing that could be better than this would be Georgia making the Final Four.
Don't get that man lit up. Don't get that man lit up. Oh, man.
Guys, get over to Dogs HQ. Go check out our partners at American Pride Bank, Sun Heist, MyPerfectFranchise.net. They do great work and they support us, and we appreciate them. We appreciate you for tuning in. We'll be back with you with the Georgia Show this week for sure. We'll catch you again next Sunday as well. Take care. Come see us at Dogs HQ. Have a great night.